If you would turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13, please. Antioch, who are we? Antioch, who are we? As we continue to walk down these topics, again, pray for me. I don't like them. I just like to preach books. But I was told, encouraged, to do some topics while we're between books, between the book of Esther and the book of Peter. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word. Thank you for moving your servant out of the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you will comfort us with your word. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us with your word. There is nothing in all the world, Lord, more glorious than you, than your word. And we pray that it will be seen today and in our lives, and that we would change because we've heard it. Thank you for talking about what you believe the church is. And we praise you in your son's most holy and precious, glorious name. We all say, you know, if they heard that amen now, they're visiting. You need to know your ABCs. Amen? We need to know our ABCs. The easiest part of the alphabet to learn is what? ABC. Antioch Bible Church. That's kind of a thing that God orchestrated before the beginning of time, that we'll have a church that will come around and challenge other churches about what the bride of Christ should be. We're not liked very much by a lot of other churches. And it's because we really challenge them on the New Testament model of what I believe God says the church should be. And any church that looks all the same, who worship the same every Sunday, who act the same, is not a New Testament church. It is a church of tradition. It is a church of, homogeneous aspects that I cannot find with the New Testament church. So we want to spend some time on that. Would that be okay? Yes. Want to spend some time with communion. The sermon has already started because we refuse to put our communion at the end of the service, because that's what it ends up being, just the end of the service, and people are in a hurry to get out. We only have two ordinances, and one being communion. We want to make sure that we honor that scripturally. So I've already been preaching for a while, so if you're visiting, you're going to come back. I passed on the preach for about 25 minutes. You're going to get culture shock next week. So we might as well just do it right now. If you would turn and look back at Acts chapter 13. If you miss the first section that we did on Acts 13 about Antioch, who are we? And people used to get really upset when we say Antioch is not a church. Antioch is the church that everyone should be like. And the reason why many people got upset is because they thought we was talking about Antioch of Kirkland. We're not talking about Antioch of Kirkland. We're talking about Antioch of chapter 13 of the book of Acts. The church that was there, that was started, that was planted, and followed up on 14, 15, chapter 16, all the way up to chapter 28. So the New Testament church, I believe, is based off of Acts 13. We have a whole new movement today of churches that believe it should be based off of Acts 29. That's pretty interesting, since there's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts. So there's a lot of freedom in Acts 29. You see, I don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross so I can have it my way. I don't believe Jesus Christ died on the cross so it can be centered around me. So if you think the church is centered around you, it'll never be pleasing to you. See, Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, gives us a perfect example of relationship. And that relationship is a mirrored image of marriage. Or I should say marriage is a mirror image of the Trinity. And I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where it says that you get married because it's about you. If you go into marriage like in our relationship and marriage class, you go into marriage thinking it's about you, you are a messy individual. That's M-E-S-I. Messy. Miserable, exasperating, and stinking individual. Can I get an amen there? How would you like to live with a messy person? It's real easy to become one. Just think it's about you. And we got a lot of messy church members because we think it's about us. And what am I going to get out of it when I walk in that church? How is it going to please me? That's not the Acts 13 church. It's not about what I think is okay for the church to stop being a church and start changing so we can bring in the unbeliever. Let's do what it takes to make them feel comfortable and stay comfortable after they get in the church. I don't think Jesus Christ died for that. I don't think Jesus Christ died for me moving outside of the righteous, blameless, above reproach life that he wants all of us. And some of our Acts 29 churches and some of our merging and all the other merging, surging, and should be sinking churches that are out there. Let's have a beer and cigar night to talk about Jesus. I just got a problem with that. You know, you got churches out there that wants to get you up front if you give enough. Can I have an amen from somebody? If you give $10,000, you can sit halfway up. You give $20,000, $30,000, you can get almost to the front. You give $60,000, $70,000, you get the front row. And if you give me personally $100,000, I get you a recliner with earphones. You can stay at home and we'll videotape it there. If it was about us. It's not about us. Forsake not the gathering of the brethren, as some of the heathens do. This is about you knowing what it's about others. You knowing what the church says is right. You standing on the word of God without compromise. That's the Acts 13 church. That's the Antioch church. The church of what the bride of Christ is supposed to be like. And if you miss the first four or five verses, make sure you get that CD, DVD, UPTT, HDD. A 78. Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone, bro. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at. Come on now. If you got your Bibles now, speak up. Now there were in the church that was at certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, the big encourager, Simeon, known as Niger, and we said, be careful. How you say that name. And we proved that Simeon here was, I believe, the Simon that was drafted to carry the cross of Christ at the crucifixion. And we went through and proved that for you. So you need to go get that. And Lucius of Cyrene, and we said that you can say it any way you want. I'm going to say it correctly. This is my humble opinion. Because the Bible makes it three syllables. So I'm going to pronounce it that way. Cyrene. modern day Libya. As a matter of fact, perfect, it is the town of Tripoli in Libya. This is where the Africans came from that was in the church. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's whites, there's black. Look at this. And Manan, who had been brought up with Herod, the foster brother of Herod, was in the church, rich. Saul, a renegade out there killing Christians, was now in the church, forgiven. So what it's saying here, the Acts 13 church is a church for all people. It is for who? All people. Now watch this. As they ministered to the Lord, verse 2, and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away from Antioch to out modern-day Turkey. And when they went out with the message that was from Antioch's church. Not the message that was from the Jerusalem church, what was homogeneous. I mean, everyone had to be the same. Everyone had to believe the same. Everyone had to act the same. Everyone had to have all the same rituals and enjoy those rituals. It was a church that started the whole thing that God wanted. And because the Jerusalem church was not doing it correctly, God allowed persecution to take place to push the Christians out of Jerusalem because he had a plan. And that was what the New Testament bride was supposed to look like. And you can see that back in chapter 11. Go there with me, please, verse 25 and 26. Are you there yet? Give me a praise the Lord. How about an amen? Drop it like it's hard. God is sitting up there going, Peter, get that boy. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek after Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Jerusalem. Oh, you got your Bibles open. That's always good because a pastor can tell you anything if you don't have your Bible open. He can even lie to you. Now, you don't have to say that fast. Pastor lying to him. And he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples was first called Christians in Jerusalem. You guys on top of it. So we was first called Christians at the church at Antioch. So do you think that God has a plan to lay out what the New Testament church was supposed to be? Not like the one that was Old Testament, homogeneous, everyone the same, but a church that was for all the people. A church that had everyone in it. See, that's why you and I don't have to wait to get to heaven to minister and worship with everybody. God intend that to happen now. And you know, you might as well get used to it because you're going to spend eternity that way. And there's no need in holding up because you think it's about you. Ooh, I like this. When we looked at what Paul and them and they was teaching about the church being for everybody, that was some big discussions going on. That was some arguments that went on. Paul even got stoned in Lystra because of what he was teaching, that the church was for everyone. After they got through the first missionary journey, they came back and found out that it wasn't just over in Turkey at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. It wasn't at just those cities. It had gotten back to Antioch and gotten back to Jerusalem, the argument about what the church was supposed to be. So they had a big council. Turn over with me to chapter 15. Verse 1, and certain men who came down from Judea. You would say, well, Pastor, that can't be right. They can't come down from Judea because Judea is south of the Antioch church in Syria. So wouldn't it be correct to say they went up? Well, you could if you're talking about direction, or you would be wrong if you're talking about elevation. This is talking about elevation. Jerusalem was higher. So they would have to come down from Jerusalem to Antioch, Assyria. Isn't the Bible awesome? Would you like for me to pick up a comic book? How about the new Superman who is now not a part of America? We'll leave that one. And certain men who came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, you mean to tell me they are not loving? They are arguing. They are upset that wrong doctrine is being taught. But you know, if you get all excited and you want to confront someone and get in somebody's face, that is so unloving. That's not accepting. Paul and Barnabas could care less about your feelings when it came to biblical truth. Because being sensitive won't set you free. The truth shall set you free. Ooh, pastor, don't go like that. There was no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and it caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. And the reason why they call Pharisees, because they're not fair, you see.
Well,
so we won't go to Sadducees. Can I understand that? We'll leave that to your imagination. And saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Woo! And the apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much disputing, calm, laid back, everyone saying, hey, there's no need in being upset, brother. Just let's can't we all just get along? Oh, they was heated. They was heated. See, you and I are backwards. We get heated about things we should never get upset about. And never get upset about the things we should be upset about. We'll have more argument if we had our own building. We'll have more argument about the color of the carpet than we would what verse really means. I guess no smiles, or we'll leave that alone. Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember, we talked about that when he was down next to modern day Al. We was right there at, what's the name of the city?
Which city?
Joppa. Man, you failed me.
I did.
I should have asked you guys. What city was it now again? I see how quick they answer. They know scripture. God has set this up, folks, because Peter, of all, was stiff. I mean, only time he opened his mouth most of the time was to change feet. Mm-hmm. And this man was stubborn. And God had to bring him to Joppa and give him a vision that, hey, what I say is clean is clean. And don't you call unclean what I say is clean. And Peter stands up and speaks up here in the council. And he said, hey, we already know what God has done. He said it through my mouth. I revealed it. That the Gentiles should be led in this church. And they all agreed. And man, that was a great, great movement of oneness in what the church should be. And they went back to Antioch because that was the purpose. That was the example. And they had gone all over and over and over and over again. Paul says, this is the church. The church. the way the church should look. Example, the Antioch church in Syria. Could you start that PowerPoint? See, Antioch is committed to carrying out the New Testament model. Cross-cultural church. That's the New Testament model. That's the Acts 13 model. You can't get away from it, much as we want to. Impossible. And it's easy for us to do it. It takes three steps for us to get the Antioch church there in Syria, the Acts 13 church. Takes three steps, A, B, and C. You got to know your ABCs. If you can remember your ABCs, we're going to have a good time around this place. Because you're going to start understanding why we push as hard as we do, what we say when we say it, how we live when we live it, and what we teach when we teach it. It's based upon Acts 13. We call them, the ABCs, that they must be practiced continually to carry out the New Testament pattern. In our acrostic, which you're going to go through, Antioch. The N is the New Testament model in Antioch. And this is what we're talking about today to give you a little better example of why we do what we do. First, we want to go to the A. The A, the first step, which stands for attitude. Attitude, attitude of humility. You know how many people think relationships, think jobs, think the church, think marriage. It's about them. Is that an attitude of humility? You don't want to know something that's absolutely amazing about God and the alphabet? How many letters is in the English alphabet? 26. 26 letters. And I want you guys to do it. Don't check out the pastor. And most of you use a calculator. Because I don't want you to come up with the wrong number. Can I have an amen? I want you to write out the alphabet, and I want you to number them 1 to 26. And then I want you to take the letters that spell attitude, and I want you to add those numbers up. Can anyone tell me if you add up all the numbers in the alphabet, spelling attitude, with those numbers, what does it equal? 100%. 100%. If you want to know how to get your life turned around, get filled with the Holy Spirit and get your attitude changed about what's important and what isn't. Big time changes in your life and mine. Why? Because I think there's a problem sometime in the church. We are to consciously adopt the attitude of humility of mind, to regard one another being more important then I said, turn with me to the book of Philippians, please. Book of Philippians. Hurry up now, we got to go. You got to listen a lot faster than you used to. Verse 1, chapter 2, book of Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion. Now that if in Philippians 2:1 is a biblical sense, S-I-N-C-E. Since there is all these things, it says, you know that it is because of Christ dying on the cross for us and being resurrected. Fulfill ye my joy, Paul says, that ye be like-minded, not having the same, love. Now, this means that you and I don't have to think alike. We don't have to have this one merging mind. It means that we need to be like-minded in all of our different minds. What is that like-mindedness in all of our different lives and our different cultures, our different genders? What is that difference? Glad you asked. Allow me to keep preaching. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Of course, this means that the preference the big A, the preference of others and other people from other cultures are more important than your preferences. That's what it means. Someone from a different culture, someone from a different like, someone from a different color, someone from a different background, when you walk into church, you got to say they are more important than you. You see, as a black man, I know that's a surprise to some of you, but I am a black man. Why should I have to defend my blackness? Why should I have to always bring it up? Make you think that you're selfish when you're always bringing up the black issues. Oh, angry black man in the church. I shouldn't have to defend my blackness. Guess what? You should defend it. See, if you defend my blackness, it turned me free to defend your whiteness, your brownness, your yellowness. Because we're to think of others being more important than myself. You don't have to defend being white and what you like. I defend it for you because you're more important than I am. Why should I defend the kind of music I like? If you're more important than me, I don't have to worry about the kind of music I like. I get that in the car. Can I get an amen from somebody? But in the church, you know, I got to defend you. I got to go with 1 and 3. Yeah. You go with 2 and 4, and together we 1, 2, 3, 4. Bam. We got a whole church, a full church, enjoying one another. But I shouldn't have to defend me. You should do it. You don't have to defend you. I got to do it. To think of each other as being more, oh, I don't like them, him. Oh, why we have a him of the month? Why don't we have a bump, a thumper of the month? Well. Some people just like to hem it up. Right. Amen. They like to hem it up. And if I like you, love you, think of you as being more important than me, I don't like that, like the him, I like you. And that gives me great joy to see you enjoying the old hymns. Ah, don't like communion at that church. Just music is too loud. You can't worship when you want to do communion in that church. Bam, 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 bam. I think sometimes God, some churches think the music's so low, he can't even hear it. Good thing he's got good ears. Sometimes it's too loud. Sometimes it's too low. That's not the issue, is it? The issue is not about you. If it's too loud, stick earplugs in. Or listen from outside. Hope it's raining. Teach you not to walk out of here. Oh, man, the things we need to learn about God. This applies specifically to worship and ministry staff. Think of others more important than yourselves. This eliminates all debate about worship style, doesn't it? Because the style you dislike the most is the style you got to give preference to. Because somebody in the church loves it. And you love them more than you love yourself. You take that philosophy. We could have to stop at A because we're already over. But man, we got a lot to talk about on Antioch. Who are we? Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your word. May you bless us as we have heard your word and allow it to change us. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, amen.